here in this world, no one can measure anyone's level of faith. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends tests in dunya, in this life. He gave us various types of commands that test a person's faith, how much they can obey that command, and how much faith they have. Only if a person has faith will be able to obey the commands. If faith is lacking, they will not be able to obey. What is iman, or faith? When one believes without any proof, nor looks for proofs in obeying commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and just obeys due to faith, this is iman, or faith. Whoever has faith in Allah and Akhirah, would they not walk in life upright? The higher the level of faith, the bigger the hurdles they have to cross. They will not find it difficult, but will keep on going. So the higher the level of faith in someone, which we cannot see here, but when the nur, or the light, is being distributed, everyone will be able to see their level of faith. We all too will be there. So when the light is being distributed, wouldn't we know how much faith everyone has? Some will have such big light, and some will have such small amount, that it will only be visible on tips of their toes on their feet. And their light will glow and sometimes extinguish, as a light bulb that is about to die. Sometimes it glows and sometimes it goes out. So what was the condition of their faith in this world? Same as in the example. When it is dark, they stop. And when it lights up with the lightning, they start walking. They were like that in dunya. When the commands were easy, they would follow them. And when it would be difficult, they would stop. So there, the same way. In dunya, they didn't continue walking upon the commands. So now there, they do not get a light that keeps on glowing. As they walked and stopped in dunya, this is how their light will be like. Sometimes glowing, and then darkness. They will walk slowly when it glows, and then stop when it darkens. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reciprocates it the same way as they were in dunya. Some unlucky ones, their light will completely exhaust. Why? Because they accepted Islam, but never acted upon his commands. So no light for them. So in Surah Hadid, that day, munafiq men and women will say to the believers, they will call out to them and say, "Stop, and let us come and take some light from your light." The believers will say, "Go back where the light is being distributed. We cannot give it to you. So go back and get it from there." So when they turn back between them and the true believers, a barrier or a hijab will be erected, and they will not be able to go to them. In dunya, they all live together. That's why they call out to them and will say, "Weren't we with you in the world? Don't you remember? I was your friend. Or, I am your sister, or I am your daughter, or I am your mother." People will say to each other, but that day, due to differences in the level of faith, relations will become estranged. One had the light of iman, and in the other, this light was extinguished. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala extinguished their light there. And those whose light is flickering, they may or may not be able to cross the bridge. It is possible that they did actions and stood for a little time in the darkness, as in the example, when they walked and stood. But remember that lightning only strikes and illuminates for a split second, so it's not possible to walk for too long. And because it remains dark for a longer period, so the person would stand for a longer time. And that means the actions are few, and mostly standing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah Al-Hadid, يَوْمَ تَرَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَسْعَى نُورُهُمْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَبِأَيْمَانِهِمْ. That day you will see believing men and believing women with their lights in front of them and on their rights. With the help of this light, the believers will cross this bridge. Because the Pul Sirat is absolutely dark and the fire of hell below is also pitch black, there will be no light. For one whose light is complete, or even if have in small amount, will cross. But those whose light gets extinguished, what will happen to them? This is why the believers will say, رَبَّنَا أَتْمِمْ لَنَا نُورَنَا. O Allah, complete our light for us. The prophets, when they reach the other side, will make dua for the believers, for their light to be complete. This will be such a difficult place that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, in three stations of the Qiyamah, no one will call for anyone. And from these three places, Pul Sirat is one of them. Until one doesn't cross it, everyone will be worried about themselves, because below them will be hellfire. One slip will cause one to fall into it. Imagine a very narrow bridge in which your car is driving over, and suddenly the headlights stop working and it is extremely dark, and under the bridge is a deep ocean, and the sides of the bridge do not have any railing. What do you think will happen in this darkness? There, the bridge will be over fire, not even water. Animals we sacrifice in this life, for example Eid al-Adha, will become our rides there. That day, we will not be able to gain benefit from anyone else's light. Only one's own light will benefit them and will be upon them. So there, no one can even borrow a light from anyone, nor take it from anyone. That's why the believers tell them to go back and get it. Cannot give it to anybody. So the nur, or light of faith, or iman, in our hearts, that we cannot see today, will be visible that day, and will have a shape and form. As every action we do in this world will adopt a shape. So the hypocrisy is darkness, and it extinguishes the light of faith in a person. Where there is darkness in the heart, there is no faith or iman in it. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that hearts are of four types. The first type is a pure heart that glows and shines like a bright lamp. The second is another heart that is in a covering. The third heart is one that is overturned. The fourth heart is one that is mixed. So the first heart is of a true believer. The second heart is of a disbeliever because it is covered up. Third heart is of a munafiq or a hypocrite. Those, if they try to tell them anything from the truth, they never understand. as a pot that is turned over, even if one runs water over it all day, will not get water in it, will not collect any water at all. The fourth is the heart of a hypocrite, who has faith and nifaq in his heart. The example we learned about, this is a mixed heart. Sometimes they walk, and sometimes stop. They are not pure munafiq yet. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us both shades of hypocrisy. One, a pure munafiq, or hypocrite. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us both shades of hypocrisy. One pure munafiq in the first example who will never turn back. In the second example, we learn of a heart that is mixed with faith and nifaq. Because of the faith, they walk, and because of the nifaq, they stop walking. Allahumma la taj'alna minhum. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not make us among them. So far, we have learned about three groups of people. So here concludes the discussion and mention of the three groups. The first group we learn about in Ayah 1-5 is about those who are true believers, who are the muttaqeen. And only for this group, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ in Ayah 5. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say this for any other group, nor those whose example we just learned about, those who sometimes walk and sometimes stop. Not these are called among successful, even if they walk sometimes. Then in Ayah 6 and 7, we learn about those who are firm and staunch disbelievers, whose hearts and ears are sealed, and they have veils upon their eyes. For them is a big torment. Then the third group is in Ayah 8-20. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about them in great detail, because this is such a sickness, comparable to a termite that eats away wood, making it hollow inside, and from outside the furniture looks perfectly fine, but inside it is all eaten up. The only way we find out is when one day our chair falls to the floor. So hypocrisy is the same. Nifaq is an insect or a termite that eats iman or faith of a person, while outside a person looks like one with faith or a believer, because they recite the kalima, they pray, while he is hollow inside, and there is no faith. Even if someone is born as a Muslim, or prays sometimes, or not even that, that is a termite eating away inside. And if it is not treated, then for them, azabun aleem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives characteristics of a person with this disease. We should make a list of these characteristics. Those who are true believers, do they look foolish to us? Or do they look like smart people to us? Do we mock them? Laugh and talk behind them when we are in a different gathering? And when we are with them, we show that we are with them. What do we do? We should check this within our own selves. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us three signs of nifaq. First is lying, breaking oaths, and breaking trusts. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if anyone has all three, are pure hypocrites. But if one has one characteristic, then has one part of nifaq, until he does not leave it. One part is still a portion, and something to worry about. than spreading corruption in the earth while they call themselves ones who reform, and upon their own convenience and own likes and dislikes, they obey the commands or leave them, or they wait to understand its logic. Do we not care for our own convenience, or whether we like it or not, or are we willing to make sacrifices, or even give up jobs if it means compromising on our deen? Are we ready to obey the commands of Allah? Where do we stand? Where are we from the three groups we learned about? Alhamdulillah, we are not from the second group, and we should be thankful to Allah for it. Now, only the first and the third group remain. Either we are from the first one or the third group. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us a mirror to assess our inner fate and treat our sickness. Allahumma tahhir qalbi min al-nifaqi wa amali min al-ri'ai wa lisani min al-kazib wa aini min al-khiyanati fa'innaka ta'lamu kha'inatul ayun wa ma tukhfi al-sudur. Ameen ya Rabb. Ya ayyuhan nas wa'budu, O people or mankind. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses all of mankind who are included in an-nas, whether Muslims, whether disbelievers, Yahud, Christian, Mushrik, or Munafiq, no matter who it is, all of mankind is being addressed in this Quran. That's how we learn that Quran is for everyone. Because if it was only for the believers, it would have said, Ya ayyuha allazina amanu, O you who have believed. But in Quran, we see ayahs saying, Ya ayyuhan nas. This means the Quran addresses the entire mankind, and this is for the all of mankind. What message does Allah give to all mankind? We will see. U'budu rabbakum. O mankind, worship your Rabb, your Lord, your Sustainer. O mankind, worship your Allah and obey Him. Why not worship an idol, or Isa alayhi salam, or why not any prophet, or any grave, nor traditions? Why not own clan or creed? Why not? Why should one worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone? Because if anyone asks, why do you worship Allah, and why can you not worship anyone else? We will see the reasons why. الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ, He created you, but not only you. وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ, And all people who came before you. He created all of them too. So one who creates, the first right is theirs, that you worship one who has made you, created you. What is the meaning of ibadah? It includes two things. Number one, ibadah includes all acts of worship, ways of worship. For example, salah, fasting, doing sajda, hajj, tawaf. These are all ibadat or rituals or acts of worship. So only He is to be worshipped alone. This is one meaning, and all forms of worship should be for Him. The second meaning is the meaning of abd, slavery, servitude. Only serve and be slaves for Him. As when we said, Iyyaka na'budu, we learned about servitude in Surah Al-Fatiha. So when one is a slave, is he for a part-time, 9 to 5? And then he says, I'm going home. No, this is a job, an employment, not being slaves. A slave is bought, and then he is under ownership of his master. Whenever his master wants, he can ask him to do anything, and the slave cannot say no. Nor the slave can set any conditions for his master, or say, I will do this, but not that. So serve your Rabb. And the slave is a slave for life, 24/7. And doesn't happen the slave says that a time of happiness, I will do what I want, or a time of sadness, I will do or walk upon my way, and other times I am your slave. A slave cannot do this. He is a full-time slave. So worship your Rabb and serve him and spend your life for him. How do we serve him? Do we make him a focus of our life? His command should be above all others and the last word, and no one else should be ahead of his matters. We cannot say, my parents say this, what can I do? Or say, my husband says this, I cannot disappoint him. No, their wishes and commands cannot be above the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the top should be the command of Allah. If someone else's command opposes commands of Allah, and if we follow that, then we have put that person's command over the command of Allah. We cannot do that. We can only worship Allah alone. If we see in our life, morning till evening, if we look at our daily routine, who are we spending this life for? Because here it mentions that worship Allah alone. Spend life for Him. Don't be His slave only in the musalla, but all the time. This is the demand of Allah, the life that He gave us. He created us. Then this life should be spent worshiping and obeying Him. In hardship, we can only call on to Him. At time of happiness, we should only turn to Him. Our entire life should be spent in His obedience. وَهُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ He created you. What were you? You had no existence. He created you. So doesn't He deserve to be obeyed? For example, if someone goes out of their way to help us or even just opens the door for us, we would say thank you, a word to show gratitude. And this is just for opening the door. Now He is the Rabb, the Master, the Sustainer, who created us. He gave us life, gave us our existence. And because of this, we are sitting here today. Upon Him, we are indebted. And if we do not recognize His favors upon us, and do not value Him, nor appreciate Him, nor show gratitude to Him, then this is being completely unfaithful to Him. These are called unfaithful ones, who enjoy the blessings of someone and then forget about them. We cannot leave worshipping and obeying Allah at any stage of our life. O'budu Rabbakum, worship your Rabb all your life. We cannot say my youth is for someone else or something else, then old age for Allah. When we are young, do we dedicate our youth for someone else? Sometimes our life is committed to maintaining homes, sometimes to our husbands. If we have kids, they become the ultimate priority. And then when we get married, only to husbands or jobs. We do not have this type of commitment with Allah. Only when everyone leaves us, then we turn to Allah. While the demand of Allah is for us to be faithful and committed to Him all our lives. If we look at our entire life, the best phase is youth. Our youth, the prime time and the best phase of our life, when we are full of life and energy, do we dedicate it to someone else? And when we reach the age when we have nothing left in us, we decide to give it to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, "The right of Allah first is to worship Him. He created us." If we look at our creation from nothing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings us into existence and makes us grow in bellies of our mothers, going through three different phases. Who carries us through these stages safely? Only Allah. Then He brings us in this world. As one who invents and creates something, isn't the Creator one who has the most right over His creation? Because He knows the instructions, how to use this creation of His. And if used in a certain way, He knows it will work. And He knows if it's not, then it will go bad. So following our Creator's instructions is obeying and worshipping Him. مَا خَلَقْتَ الْإِنسَ وَالْجِنَّ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, "And not I created the mankind and the jinn except that they worship Him." He made us for this purpose. He did not make us to run after dunya, nor to fulfill our own desires and run after them. Did we create ourselves that we serve and worship ourselves? Or did money create us that we become slaves of money? Whoever we worship besides Allah will destroy us. And when a person leaves the commands of Allah and obeys and follows the commands of someone else by preferring to obey others over Allah's commands, who did they worship? Allah or others? So worship and obey Allah. This is the Sirat al-Mustaqim, the straight way. So for how long do we have to worship and obey Him? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hijr, Ayah 99, وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. Worship your Rabb until comes to you the yaqeen, which means certainty. Here, certainty means death. So until death, we have to worship and obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Until then, not even for a second, we should leave obedience to Him. The Anbiya, or the Prophets, enjoyed their children with this. And the message of all Prophets was this. This was the universal message. This is for all of humanity. And this is the right of Allah upon His creation. In Bukhari Hadith, it is mentioned, the right of Allah is that His servants or slaves worship Him alone and do not associate partners with Him. And the right of His slaves upon Allah is that when they give the right of Allah by worshipping Him alone, then Allah will not punish them. So be slaves of Allah. So how do we worship Allah? If asked the practical ways to worship Him, what should we do? Make Him our everything, as sometimes a person makes their parents everything, or their husbands everything, or their children everything. The right and focus we give to others, we should be giving to our Creator. Secondly, spend life in remembrance of Him. Remember His favors upon us, and reminding oneself not to disobey Him. Number 3, call Him alone for help. Number 4, trust Him alone. If we want to look for an example of trust, we should look at a small child who trusts his mom for everything. If you look at a small child, how they trust their mom, that she will save him or her from harm or every pain. At time of pain, they run to their mother, And if they perceive danger, they run to their mother. While she is just a woman who is weak herself, and she cannot save anyone, but the child trusts her to save him from every danger. Subhanallah. Some Mufassireen say, if a child thinks that his mom will save him from every danger, and your creator is the master, owner, possessor of all powers, and he can save you from anything, but you do not run to him as a child runs to his mother. So if anyone wants to learn trust, learn it from a child, who with so much hope and trust, runs and hides in his mother. Trust one who is weak herself, but you do not trust the master of all power and strength. So trust Allah alone. Number 5. Obey Allah alone. Number 6. Spend life for Allah. As we hear people say, when they show their love to someone special, I live for you. For example, their children or their husbands. Rather, إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. My salah, my sacrifice, my living, and my dying are for you, Allah, Rabb of the universe. Do we lie when we say we live for Allah? We lie because we say for our kids. We live for them. And if the relation separates, or we lose them, we lose all hope. Have we heard anyone say, we live for Allah? We never hear this. We only hear for someone people love. We are so unfaithful to Allah. He gave us life, but we live for someone else. Also, when we say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, we are saying we are for Allah. Is our life truly for Him? Or our sayings are without any meaning. We call others mean, selfish. Well, we ourselves are selfish because we received our life from Allah but live for someone else. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, O budu rabbakum, O people, come to Allah. He calls to everyone, even the disbelievers. He is the one who created you too. This invitation is for everyone. Your forefathers, whoever they worshipped besides Allah, they too were created by Allah. So if you made a mistake, then they could have made a mistake. As people, when they mention their parents or forefathers with such respect, as if they cannot make mistakes. They consider them so perfect and free from faults, while they too are a creation of Allah and humans like us who made mistakes. They are honored by us because they are our elders, but they too are humans and make mistakes just like us. So we cannot blindly follow them in their ways if they disobeyed Allah in anything. We should follow the way of the truth. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, when he was asked about the biggest sin, he said the biggest sin is when one attributes partners with Allah and does shirk. He created us, and then you start obeying someone else. And sometimes we follow and obey the desires of our nafs, and sometimes someone else. Why is it important to worship Allah? If asked, what is the benefit in it? And what is the loss if we don't do it? What would you say? First, why do we worship Him? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So you can save yourself. O mankind, worship your Rabb, Sustainer. He is your Master and Sustainer. No one else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves His creation and tells mankind to worship Him alone. Why do we worship Him? To save ourselves. In dunya, from walking upon the wrong path. Because if anyone doesn't obey Him in this life, they will face losses of dunya and will not find any peace of mind. Even if they get wealthy, have big homes and other worldly successes, they will never find peace in heart, because one has broken the soul's connection with its creator. The soul craves meeting with its creator. The body is made of clay. Soul is not from clay, but from Allah. The body, since it is made of clay, is attracted to earthly things. Just the same, soul is attracted towards its creator. This body we feed, give it comfort, take care of it. What is the condition of the soul? It becomes weaker and weaker if it doesn't get its nourishment. What is the nourishment for the soul? Since it comes from the heavens, because it is from there, its nourishment is Quran and Wahi. So give the soul this nourishment. If you give it gold, silver, or treasures of dunya, it will not find peace or satisfaction. Just as if one places gold, silver, and treasure in front of a starving person, this person will say, "Give me food, give me water. What will I do with these treasures?" As we in this dunya, we try to entertain our soul with poetry, singing, music, money, homes, but it is still thirsty. The soul needs a connection with its creator, and we are trying to give it other things which it doesn't need. As treasures do not fill a hungry man's stomach, only food does. So we are giving the soul what it doesn't need. It needs a connection with its creator. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So you can save yourself, so your worldly life is peaceful, and you will be saved from the punishments in the Akhirah. This is the only solution to saving oneself. As if a doctor tells a patient that your ailment can only be cured with this treatment or a medicine, otherwise you will not get better. The patient will pay whatever the cost of the medicine is, so they can feel better, and will not care of its side effects, because they want the cure and want to use the medicine. The patient uses it because she knows this is the only way to save herself. Now this is for this short life. We go through so much effort to save our health, to save our life, which will eventually end anyway. What about the life that will never end? How much effort do we make to save ourselves for that life? The only way to save ourselves is to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We fear sickness so much because we do not want to die, and we seek any means of treatment to save our life. But we do not fear Jahannam, the hellfire, where there is such torment and no peace. We fear pain and sickness and death. There in hell, if one asks for death, it will not come. Due to the severity of pain and torments, the person there will ask for death. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to save ourselves and tells us what to do to save ourselves. Otherwise, there is no salvation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of His favors, so you come to Him, so you become His slaves. He didn't just create us and leave us alone, helpless in this world. This concludes our this week's lesson. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Please listen to the tilawa. جزاك الله خير.
أو كصيب من السماء فيه ظلمات ورعد وبرق يجعلون أصابعهم في آذانهم من الصواعق حذر الموت والله محيط بالكافرين يكاد البرق يخطف أبصارهم كلما أضاء لهم مشوا فيه وإذا أظلم عليهم قاموا ولو شاء الله لذهب بسمعهم وأبصارهم إن الله على كل شيء قدير يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون